Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is the medical report with Dr. Lee for America and from Truth for Health Foundation. Today, our guest is Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Chambers, who is also a combat physician, flight surgeon, and former Green Beret. Dr. Chambers spent 39 years in the military serving our country. Many times in combat, in special forces missions that we can't really know the danger and the fear and the risk that he faced. And there's no better person to talk about the enormity of coping with fear and how to deal with fear when you are faced with threats to your life. Certainly all military soldiers headed into combat are dealing with the adrenaline surges, the fight or flight response, the perception from the brain, the perception of danger. That's our warning signal. And that is preparing the body to run or fight in order to survive. We all understand that, and most all of us have experienced that. But soldiers in their training are trained to face the fear. They are trained breathing techniques, they are trained mental techniques, and they are trained to focus on controlling the controllables. And we've had other programs with Dr. Chambers on that subject. So today, we're going to be talking about preparing to navigate the minefields of fear. Obviously, all of us have dealt with the fear of loss, the fear of a illness that we were told was potentially deadly, and we were faced with having to close businesses, closing schools, wondering how we were going to get medicines, how were we going to buy supplies, what was going to happen to our job. All of these elements of fear have been ramped up on steroids through the 3 years of the pandemic. And in fact, that has been an orchestrated campaign of fear. The real virus was the virus of fear attacking our mind, our physical health, our spiritual trust in our Creator. Fear has been the weapon that the powers have used to control us through the last 3 years. So what I wanted to focus on today is how is the training that military soldiers are given, how can that be adapted for civilians, because we know that there are more threats coming to us from all directions. Food shortages, fuel shortages, the fear of a nuclear attack, the fear of another viral pandemic, the fear of financial collapse. Every day in the news, there's more fear-mongering. There are more ways that they are ginning up to terrorize all of us. We can cope with that through faith over fear, but we can also cope with it with mental and physical strategies that Dr. Chambers is here to share with us today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chambers. Thank you for your service to our country, and thank you so much for doing this program to help everyone with the strategies you've found work so well in combat.
I want to start with a prayer, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Put together a little something here. Sometimes people complain it when I pray. It's like talking to a general. That's kind of how I look at it sometimes. Heavenly Father, I'd like to say thank you first, sir, for your grace and the beauty that you created in this world. Lord, the beautiful people that you created in your image in this beautiful planet. And your grace is still here in this moment and this time. Lord, please let my words be your words, inspired by you, in the still small voice that most of the time I haven't listened to, but you've always squared me away and brought me back to reality. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So good judgment comes from experience. Unfortunately, most of that comes from bad judgment. That's been the mantra of my life. And it's something that that I'm going to do right now is to bring you into my life a little bit in that I want you to consider this the team room. And this is, I'm actually in a team room right now. This is a colonel friend of mine. This is his team room. And you can see what state I'm in. You probably figure it out. No, this is not Chile. That's not the Chilean flag. That's the Texas flag. So you heard my bio. I've always been a soldier. I love the smell of gunpowder and I love the sound of a bayonet sharpening on the whetstone. Right, that's just been my life since 1983. But in 2003, after college and residency and 9/11 happened and coming back as a special forces doctor, I was trained in family practice. I did emergency medicine as my skill set, but I did real trauma the first time in 2003-04 in Iraq. That's where I was really introduced to trauma. And you imagine the first time a medical student steps in, just in my training, a medical student walks into the ER and they say, okay, here's your first patient. You're going to take care of this patient. And you're looking at the ER doc and you're wondering, how in the world are they handling 7, 8, 10 people at a time and walking around and just giving orders and doing this without, I'm losing my mind with just one geriatric patient, one old patient that I've got to manage just their medication for the day and send them back out one at a time. And it was scary. I was scared to death. First time I put in a chest tube, scared to death, but working through it. And one of the things we do in special forces or in the military in general is we call it stress inoculation training. Now, one of the things we do in this stress inoculation training is we increase incrementally our pressure on each other because it has to prepare you for the battle that you're about to see. And that battle is sometimes the ugliest place in the world. It is the ugliest place in the world. After 20 years of doing this, you can become cold to it. You can become callous to it, but still the human side is devastating. So we'll start from the beginning. And I'm going to work us through the study of phobologia, which is the study of fear. And in that study of fear, that's from a word that takes a couple of Greek words and puts them together. And here we go from the current slide. And it started in prehistoric times, I guess, in the first recorded times in the Old Testament, and that we really read about these battles in the Old Testament and what it took. And one of the scriptures that I like to use, Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that's in the New Testament. But we can learn a lot from this book, if you will, of battle in how men and women deal with fear. And so there's my bio. I've just been a soldier. But you have to know yourself. And you have to know the enemy. And when you do, and this is Sun Tzu, this is a Chinese philosopher from 5,000 years, I think, or 3,000 years before Christ, saying that you have to know yourself. And if you know the enemy and what the dangers are, if you understand that, because we fear that which we do not know. But if you understand those things, you can make it through anything. You know, some of these techniques that I'm going to talk about in a little while in the next 45 minutes are techniques that can be used by not just on the battlefield, even though you're going to look at this and you're going to say, well, a lot of this is battle related and there's a reason for it. Is because if I can teach just to Green Berets to go down range and keep a calm moment in the center of chaos, I promise you, some of these techniques will work for you. And some of the things we're seeing right now in this whole COVID pandemic that we just went through, and then if there's another pandemic, number two, sometimes evil uses fear to kind of control us and to put us in a state where we can't be functional, right? So understand yourself, understand the enemy, and I promise you, you will know the outcome of 100 battles, because if you know neither, you will succumb. There's my agenda. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to work my way through. Now, this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Bear with me. This was created for the team room for Green Berets. These are our 10 rules, and it's not much off the reality of what is taught to Green Beret SEALs. Now, I added a little bit to it. Rule number one, always look cool. Now, that means don't look like a target. Okay? Don't be a target. Always look cool, right? Look like you can handle yourself, but I'm not talking about physical altercations. I'm talking about remain controlled in your actions and your thoughts. All right, now this is military related, but just bear with me. Shoot, move, communicate, medicate. Those are the four pillars. Now, in our world as civilians, we have four pillars. There's a spiritual walk. There's a physical walk. There's a mental, right? Got to have at least three, because a stool can at least support with three. But if you have four, that's your family, right? And sometimes we in the military, we neglect that. I've done that my whole career. I've neglected my family because in 6 months, I've got to deploy again. And it's happened and it's caused problems, but we mend those problems and we work on it whenever we come home. I'm always in the process of doing that. Number three, attention to detail will save your life on today's modern battlefield, Private Chambers. I was told that by my Sergeant Cook in 1983. Attention to detail, because it's the devil's in the details. Pay attention to the details. When you hear something on the news, trust but verify. Cut twice, measure twice and cut once. Make sure that what you're hearing is correct. Don't just take anybody's word for it. Listen to things, trust but verify. So it's attention to detail that will save your life. Excuse the bad language here, number four, but this was a quote by Sergeant First Class Jesse Canales. He told this to me when I was stuck underneath some barbed wire, concertina wire, we call it, Fort Benning training, firing machine guns over our head, and I'm stuck in this wire, and he stops the machine guns, and he runs out. He's like, Private Chambers, you stuck? And I said, yes, son, I'm stuck. He said, don't cry. And then he said that expletive right there, female dog. And then he said, all right, start up the machine guns again, and he left me there. And I'm still stuck. What I realize is that nobody's going to save you but you. Nobody's going to save you but you in a situation. Whether the situation is somebody's confronting you physically, you don't have time to press 911. You don't have time. Whether in life something comes up to you, some problem, chaos ensues, you're going to have to handle that. And Sergeant Canales taught me that a long time ago. Number three, be at the right place, the right time with the right equipment. I'm sorry, number five. That means time on target. Be there. Just be there, but be ready. And the right equipment is the right training. It's those four functions that I talk about. It's your spiritual walk. It's your family. It's your physical. Don't let yourself go. Try to do something every day and all those aspects in your mental walk. Study. If you know, a general once asked me, what's the definition of a professional? And I answered, I said, well, sir, that's somebody that betters himself every day in their skill set. So study whatever it is that you study, but vary it. Be a Renaissance person. Vary it. Study some science, but study some art. Balance all these things, and it'll balance your mind. When you're number six, listen, think, pause, respond. Listen to what somebody's saying. Think about it. Pause for a second, and then respond. Don't blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. Because sometimes, a lot of times, my family will tell you, I do that out of anger, and then I regret it. Because then I'm like playing catch up. So stop, listen, think, pause, respond. Listen to what the person is telling you. And you're going to be wondering, what does this all have to do with fear and chaos? I'm going to get there. When briefing, keep it brief. Bottom line up front and answer the so what. To me, that is come up. We need to focus on the things that are the most important here. There's so much being thrown at us. Categorized. There's a saying in special forces that you can only control the controllables. I can't control everything. I can only control what's right in front of me. The so what, keep it brief. Always, always, always look for work. Look for work. Get up in the morning, make your bed. McChrystal said this, make your bed and start your day. And if your day starts at 0400, 0430 like me, get up and look for that work. Find out what it is that you're retired. Then find something to do. Go down to the coffee shop, volunteer, find something, but keep your mind and your body going. Look for work. That's Greek number 9, apo exotipota, out of here, nothing. It's a saying that was on the wall in the Spartans team room. And that means that in our team room, in this team room, when we have arguments between ourselves, we don't take it outside. We don't badmouth each other. We remain a team, because one of the keys to success with controlling fear is you're a team. We are a team. A community is a team. A neighborhood is a team. Your family is a team. Those things, you don't, not that you're going to badmouth them, but you just want to keep that closeness. And if there's an argument between you, keep it between you. And then if you can't do number 2 through 9, refer back to number 1. Always look cool. But keep your mouth shut and get in the corner. All right. That's a sergeant thing. All right. Now I need you to ask yourself these things before we kick this off. And I'm going to get in a little physiology. I'm going to get in a little stuff that might be a little deep, but it's to understand your body and how it works. Can I get myself in the midst, in the mindset of expecting to get shot at, or expecting to be hurt by something, or expecting to be hit by some chaotic thing? I have to tell myself, can I get in that mindset? Do I have the confidence in my battle drills? These are battle drills that I train for. Do I have the confidence in those? Do I have an anticipatory mindset? Am I prepared for things? Do I have a fight through mentality? Am I going to quit, or am I going to continue on to the end? Though I be the lone survivor? And can I really get savage if I have to? Can I get pissed off? All right. There's such a thing as the virtues of a warrior. Truest virtue of a warrior. I was talking. I didn't see my mute. Is love. Period. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. But sometimes a warrior has what's called righteous anger. Jesus had righteous anger when he turned over tables. When you see an action that is wrong, you can be angry about that. But don't get so angry that it just takes you out of your control zone. All right, why do we get scared? Now we're talking about physiology. So think of yourself right now as a creature. You're an animal. And you can hear my dog, he's panting in the background. He just got back from playing. So an animal, when it's scared, it goes into fight or flight. It either runs like a rabbit, or it fights. Any creature does that. And there's a physiologic reason for that. It's a survival thing for that species. Fear's essential role in survival helps to explain why sometimes people seem trigger happy or jumpy. Right, there's certain physiologic responses to that, and I'll get into that. All right, what happens in the body in the fight or flight is a lot of chemical reactions that take place. And a lot of this stuff, if you look at nature versus nurture, it's what you've experienced in life. And I'm going to go back to the thing that I said in the very beginning, is we fear that which we do not know. All right, if we don't understand it, we might jump into something a lot quicker than we really should have in the fear realm, all right? But breathing rates increase, heart rate increases. These are all physiologic responses, all right? When these physiologic responses take place, we can learn to control that, or we can let it control us. And what happens is that blood vessels will dilate under the skin, and blood will go from to the central organs that are required for survival, your heart and your brain. And your kidneys, and it will fill with blood, and they will fill with blood, and they will keep you alive. Your muscles, the hairs on your neck that you hear about, sometimes they stand up on the back of your neck. It's called goosebumps. Those are because these little erector pili hairs, muscles around them, and they stand up whenever your adrenaline is released. Your body then releases glucose, all right? It's a spike that comes into your body. That's your sugar, your natural sugars that you have stored. It's so that you can run, because you could possibly fight or flight. Calcium, red blood cells, or white blood cells, they also kind of get released into there. we look at the amygdala. It's a little part of the brain. The word amygdala comes from a Greek word. Everything comes from Greek, right? It's called an almond, and it's almond is the word for amygdala. It's an almond-shaped organ or piece of the brain in the center that functions in the conditioning fear and associative learning. But in this sense, it is the kickoff. It's the control for this whole thing. And over time, you can learn to adjust that, or you can succumb to it. And in the amygdala, we talk about a release of adrenocorticotropic hormone, which is going to go down to the adrenal glands, which is where your epinephrine and norepinephrine are created. Now, when those things travel out, when they're released, and I'm not getting into too much detail here, but just so we can understand that later on, we're going to learn to control these things. When those are released throughout the body, a lot of things that are good can happen. You can stay in between the green and the kind of red zone. We don't want to get into the black. We don't want to stay in the high end of the red zone. And I'm going to discuss those zones as we go along. But I'm going to use these principles to understand that. At this time, right now, when we're talking about the next part of this, when the epinephrine is coming out of those adrenal glands, which sit right on top of your kidneys, when that comes out, I have had this where I went straight from a yellow zone, that's your second zone, green, yellow, orange, red, then black. I went from a yellow zone in Iraq 2004 straight to black. And what caused that? What caused that? On 12 May 2004, my truck was blown up. The truck that I was riding in the front passenger seat, and it was blown up by a bomb buried in the road. And I went straight into black zone. Well, what happens there? Acoustic, you lose the ability to hear. Visual, you have tunnel vision. You get flight of thought. You can't focus. You're shaking like a leaf. You really don't know where you're at. But if you use the techniques, combat breathing, things like that, that we'll talk about, it'll get you back in that zone. Now, a lot of these things are conditioned response things. If something happens and a response happens, but over time, those kinds of things can become a pathway that'll happen. You can train that pathway just as well as you can train to defeat that pathway. All right. Cortisol is released, and then catecholamine hormones are including epinephrine, norepinephrine. Some people call it adrenaline, noradrenaline. And they prepare the muscles for violent action. That's why you get that tense feeling, and you're, like I said, the hairs on your neck stand up. All right. These hormones can also boost activity in the lungs, and you start breathing faster, and you start breathing shallower from your diaphragm. Okay. And if you don't have that full expanse of air, and something we call box breathing, when we get into trouble, right? My sister did this on the stand when she was in a court case. She has agoraphobia, and she got on a court case on the stand, and she literally used this and said, for the first time in my life, I wasn't scared to death. But because of the blood going to your heart and lungs and your brain and your muscles, it goes away from your stomach. And that's what we call butterflies. It's that feeling of butterflies in your stomach. All right. Prefrontal cortex. That's an area that's between all this. This is what's taking it's regulating the stress and the response, making things seem less scary. Now, sometimes by patterns, you've experienced this before, they're less scary as you go along. These things are based upon experience. Once again, I said, you know, in the beginning, bad judgment comes from experience. Good judgment comes from experience. Most of that comes from bad judgment. You make enough mistakes, you put your hand on the fire enough times, you say, well, probably not a good idea. So that prefrontal cortex is working there. All right. We have the hippocampus works in conjunction with that, with the amygdala. So what is, at what point do I get off of this X, this bad place? When my truck blows up, at what point do I start moving? When I wake myself up from that black zone and I get back into the red, into the orange zone, I'm able to tell myself, they're actually shooting at me as well. I've got to move. I got to shoot, move, communicate, and medicate. The four pillars of combat. All right. So why do we freeze when we're scared? Well, in animals, when we scan left to right, things that move left to right trigger a response by the predator. So an animal is going to try to stay still in order not to be chased, but that can save you, but it can also hinder you if you were in a fire and you just stood still. So you know, well, let's move. All right, so the takeaway is The fear response has kept us alive. It is primal. We should respect it. But now we've got to be able to figure out to overcome it. Now, that's the first jump. I wasn't scared because I was young and I really didn't have a sense of fear. But then the second jump is what I really got scared, because I knew how bad the first one was, right? And I knew that I had no idea what I was really doing. I was just jumping out of a plane and the ground was going to accept me soon. And it's not the jump that kills you. It's a sudden stop at the end. And having been had broken bones several times, I can tell you that over several years, it's that sudden stop. All right. Now we're going to get into the real training of this, the mastery of the physiology. We got about a half an hour to do this, and we can. All right. The big six. I'm going to say there's a big seven here. And really underneath that is mindset. That's number seven. But mindset comes in not only preparing your mind for your job or whatever it is that you're doing. For me as a soldier, preparing my mind for that combat, preparing your mind for the next thing that you're going to tackle that day. Like I said, when you get up and look for work. But in doing that, there is a spiritual aspect to it, as well as a didactic mindset. So make sure that you hone both of those skill sets, because when you don't, you're not in balance, life's a lot harder for you. All right, for us, it's combatives, it's medical skills, it's weapons, it's tactics, mobility, and survival. So if we look at those in the non-combat sense, combatives, this is something that keeps me alive. This is something that if I have to go hand-to-hand. But that could be verbal judo, all right, in a sense, because we're not going to always chop somebody in the throat to get out of a bad conversation. Probably not a good idea. So, that's a buddy of mine's over here going, eh. But that's because we're in the team room. But in the next one is medical. I've got to understand that if I live in the country and something happens to one of my family members, I got to have at least a basic knowledge of first aid. Because if that fear comes along and I can't stop a bleed that requires a tourniquet, perhaps I should understand that. Now, weapons, your weapon of choice. You know, if you're in a combat environment, you will be trained in your weapon and you will know how to use it. But in the civilian sense, if I'm honing the skill set of spiritual side of my life, then my weapon is the Bible. It's the word. Tactic is something I have to understand. What is the technique, tactic, and practice of somebody that's using something against me? And in this freedom series that we're doing, this medical freedom series, I want you to understand that this pandemic that we went through was a tactic of the enemy. And if the enemy is a powers that be, or some bad actor, we have to understand that that tactic is being used against us, and will it be used again? And if it is, I'm not going to fall for that this time, because I've learned. Or am I going to put three masks on this time? How are we going to defeat that tactic? We need to understand that so we know how to find the information. Mobility, I look at that like it's my physical fitness, my ability to be limber and move fast, to be a supple leopard, so to speak. And then survival. Survival is just, it's preparation, but it's also understanding and it's training. Preparation for survival could be, I have enough foods saved up in my house should that the grocery stores are shut down for 2 weeks in a tornado in Oklahoma, or a hurricane off the coast of South Texas, the two things that we deal with the most. But we've had a power grid go down in Texas as well, where we had a winter storm and people did not survive because they weren't prepared for it. They didn't have enough water. They didn't have the ability to clean water. You know, you can walk outside and get snow and melt it by boiling it, and then you have clean water. And people didn't even know that. And they were dehydrated by the time we found them. All right, so train above the fear. There's my dog, Joe. He's in the background over here. You see something there, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I also think, what would Joe do? Because that's 100% focus. Fear is no illusion. Fear is real. Convince yourself that it isn't, and you're already dead. So you got to get in that zone. When I get in the zone, what I mean is when I get up every day, I'm in the zone of focus. I'm in the zone of, as a police officer, when I worked as a reserve deputy, as soon as I jumped in that patrol car on my way to it, I was already ready to make sure that my weapon system was right, that everything was clean, that everything was loaded properly, and that I was checking around every corner and was situationally aware. If you're somebody that is not a police officer or not armed or not trained to do such a thing, and you're going to a gas station in the middle of the night, you want to think about, okay, I'm driving into this gas station. Do I circle it and make sure there's nobody hiding in the shadows waiting to jump me? Or do I just drive right in and not have any situational awareness? You need to be in the zone. Check your surroundings. Clear that mechanism. When I say clear the mechanism, that's from an old baseball movie. I think it was Robert Redford was in it. And he had to clear the mechanism. He had to clear his mind before he threw a pitch at the World Series. Clear the mechanism. Focus on what it is that you're trying to do. When I'm downrange and I got somebody laying there in front of me, I'll give you an example. 2014, leaving Afghanistan, a rocket attack on the base camp. The plane that we were getting on was getting gassed up. One of the Air Force refuelers got hit by a large piece of shrapnel on his neck, and it was just wide open. I didn't have any medical equipment where we were loading on the plane to go home, and just put my hands on it and just held it, but focused 100% because during an explosion type environment, it's hard to focus. And I remember him looking up at me and asking me, am I going to make it? I said, you're absolutely going to make it, son. And, you know, held him with these fingers right here all the way down to the aid station, actually down to the combat surgical hospital, and got him some definitive care. But you got to get in that zone and you got to clear that mechanism, because right now the only focus is right now for me is that kid's jugular. I'm just holding on to that. Thank goodness it wasn't his carotid. And then again, what would Jesus do? 100% focus. But also thinking about a working dog, if I could bring him up here and show you, it would be an event. But what is his focus like? He's 100% focused. That picture right there was in an airfield, and I was sitting inside a restaurant with the pilot, and I told Joe to sit there and watch that plane, and that's him watching the plane. He didn't move, and he watched to make sure that nobody came up to it. Be focused.
This is Dr. Lee for America. This is the Whistleblower Report, and we're going to take a break right now. We will be right back. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, and listen to us every day right here on the Whistleblower Report, 12 noon and 12 midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Check out all our resources and stay tuned for the second half of Overcoming Fear and Navigating the Minefields of All of the Chaos Around Us with Green Beret physician, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Chambers. We'll be right back. Welcome to the second half of the Whistleblower Medical Report with Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret and physician, Dr. Peter Chambers, describing for all of us the combat strategies taught to military people to help them face the fear that combat always produces in all of us. And we are all facing the pandemic of fear in the world around us through the last 3 years of the COVID pandemic. And all of us face fear at one time or another in our lives. So this is a very important discussion with Dr. Peter Chambers. Welcome back to the second half with Dr. Chambers.
The science of fear is about interior monologue. It's what you're telling yourself while this is going on, because when you're thinking about talking to yourself, you're not thinking about what it is that's about to cause you pain or cause you a trouble or anything. It's not about being physically tough. It's not about anything but interior monologue. That's what we train on. See, it's about training. Everybody thinks the soldiers will rise to the occasion. Well, no, you fall back to your training. And that requires an interior monologue. Here's your mindset checklist. And I'm going to have more of these as we go along, and we'll be adding them to the website. This is a simple checklist that you can do, which is when you get up in the morning, you make your bed, you turn on your light switch. Right? It means I'm on. I'm ready to go. When it's time to take a nap in the afternoon on a Sunday, it's okay. And turn the light switch off. Get in that zone, situational awareness. The IPB in our world, this is military driven here, but is intelligence preparation of the battlefield. What's the most likely course of action to happen today? What's the most dangerous course of action? If I'm driving in Portland, Oregon, and somebody says there's an Antifa rally going on down Main Street, I'm going to stay away from the most dangerous course of action. I'm going to go to another route, right? That's a simplistic way to look at it, but requires a preparation before I get there. I'm going to prepare my avenue of approach. Visualization. when I put in the first chest tube, I did not visualize. I just looked at a book and said, okay, I can do this. And then watched somebody else do it. Didn't really do it exactly right. I forgot to give enough anesthesia between the ribs. And the guy told me about it afterwards. After a while, I realized that visualization technique of going and seeing myself doing this, putting this chest tube between somebody's ribs so that they can get air into their lung, was probably a good idea. Visualizing those techniques. Athletes do it all the time. Military guys do it all the time, guys and gals. So, and then the checklist, what's important to me? My family's important to me. Getting through this day is important to me. Getting on the stand and testifying in a court is important to me. At that moment, that's when I do that internal dialogue and I start telling myself to get beyond that fear, because those techniques will work. Internal dialogue is key to doing that. So that's number one. We're going to get a few more. Are my battle drills complete? Did I go through these visualizations for these specific things that I deal with on a daily basis? Some things I don't know are going to show up, and that's chaos. And you can either be a victim to chaos or you can control it. And then you're going to observe, orient, decide, and act. Now, that's an OODA loop, and I want you to write that down. There is a great study on that. It's by a Colonel John Boyd, Air Force pilot, that learned that if he turned a little bit sooner in behind the enemy, he cut time and he was able to get behind them in this loop. He observed, he oriented himself to a more tactically superior position. He decided, and then he moved and he acted. And then he went back to observe again, because when you act, you change your configuration, you observe. So these techniques are used during chaotic times for us to keep our mind going. When you forget about what you're doing, you can end up in trouble if you don't do OODA loops. A good friend of mine, he told me once, I used that OODA loop, Doc, when I had to save my daughter who was drowning in the pool. She had swallowed a gumball and it went into her airway. And he said, I had taken years of CPR. He's not a medical guy, but he said, I remember you saying, observe, orient, decide, and act. He said, I was so scared. I could not put my hands on my daughter to help her until I said, observe. Okay, observe what's going on. Orient. Okay, there's something in her throat. Decide. I'm going to do the Heimlich maneuver. He acted. He said, he called me and said, that saved her life. That's a moment of chaos. Stay left of bang. When you think about the bang, that's like the explosion that happened to me. And if you think about left and right, that's a linear relationship. Stay left of it. Before the bang, think about what's ahead of you on the road in life, whatever that next thing that could possibly happen, the next pandemic. All right. When somebody asked me once, well, Doc, you know, you seem pretty calm in combat. How do you do that? Just years of experience of doing it. But, you know, as a young Zen student went to the Zen master, he said, Master, how do I achieve enlightenment? He said, chop wood and carry water. He said, well, then he did that. Okay. Scratched his head and he chopped wood and carried water for a year. Came back and said, all right, Master, what do I do now? He said, continue to chop wood and carry water. All right. There's nothing different than I did as a Green Beret that I didn't do as a soldier, as just a basic infantryman. Did the same things. It's just we did it over and over and over again until we achieved a zero defect environment. There are friends of mine. There's a friend of mine in Dallas. It's an anesthesiologist. I'm sure first time she ever had to run a serious case, you know, on her own, it was probably a little harrowing, you know, just think back to those times. But I always admire those people because they can just, those drugs just come to them that quick. You know, I have like three that I use on the battlefield just because like I can't carry a lot. And it's amazing, you know, that you talk to people like that and they'll tell you, you know, that's just that continuing to do that over and over and over again. You just get good at it. All right. Okay. We have this saying, and it's attributed to Sun Tzu originally, sweat more during peace, you'll bleed less during war. So train yourselves mentally, physically, spiritually. Continue to train yourself every day. All right. I'm going to talk about the exercises now. And then we're going to be posting a little bit more. I'm going to do some video series on these and show you how to do them. So they'll be here on this site in the future. The ancient Spartans used to train their kids in what we call the owl muscles around the eyes. They didn't want the soldiers, the future soldiers at 7 years old when they started a little earlier to become warriors. They would take twigs with leaves on them and they would hit them in the face until they stopped flinching, because that flinching kicks your body into fear. You don't see MMA fighters stepping into the ring. Tim Kennedy's a good friend of mine, MMA fighter, Green Beret. He doesn't step into the ring and start flinching because somebody raised their fist. He's been trained to take that. Physical fitness, these are exercises. Physical fitness has been shown to decrease the amount of adrenaline in your system that's released whenever you do get into a situation. Stress inoculation training. Like I said, when we get on the range, we train like that. We have explosions going off. We have people shooting over our heads with not anymore live rounds, they used to, but a lot of loud noise. Visualization techniques, combat breathing. This is going to be one of your key ones because combat breathing you can do anywhere, anytime. And we're going to get you through a lot of problems. Prayer and petition. That's your primary one. There. Now, this training is a little bit more detailed. There are 28 exercises focusing on separate nexes of the nervous system and then fear accumulators. I'm going to have these out in a different series that will be recorded due to time constraints. I got about 15 minutes to get through the rest of this. This is a deep study. So they'll be out there. Fear spawns the body. Okay, and it must be combated there. So once fear kicks in, it's a cycle. Okay, that phoboketos, that cycle of fear, that loop of fear, that you can run away in terror. And when you see this on the battlefield, and I've seen it, it's momentum. And it just takes one leader to say, hey, turn around. You see these old movies of Civil War soldiers standing in line, and there's a flood of Yankees or rebels going one way or another, and you see one guy turn around, and he grabs the guidon and he runs the other way, and he takes that fear out of them because they want to follow him, and they go through the gap. And I'll tell you a story from World War II that was really interesting on that here in a second. Put the body into a state of aphobia without fear, fearlessness, and the mind will follow. That was a Spartan belief, and I believe it, having done it downrange in combat numerous times. Physical fitness, exercise in the reduction of anxiety. All durations of anxiety, whatever duration, even if you do 20 minutes of walking in the morning, will significantly reduce your anxiety levels. Physical fitness is linked directly to that. Multiple studies that show that. The state of anxiety, pre-exercise anxiety within 24 hours, it can be as quickly as 4 to 6 hours as far as pre-anxiety levels. Exercise is associated with reductions in muscle tension. These are from studies. All four of these I've got from studies, and I can share them, and we will on our site later on. Reductions in anxiety are not necessarily tied to physiologic gains resulted from the exercise bout. So it's not from the gains that you got. It's just from reduction in muscle tension. The greatest virtue of a warrior is love. I said this before, and I mean it. Love can get you through a lot of things. I'm going to tell you a quick story. Afghanistan, 2013, a little girl was burned on the battlefield. They handed her to me. And I remember that right before that, I had lost a soldier that just stepped off the bird. He literally hit immediately. And so you're angry, adrenaline is up, you know, we're worried, it's nighttime operation, it's really tough. And they hand me this little girl, and I'm shaking just from the what's going on with battle. You know, sometimes I have to combat breathe myself. And I remember them handing me this girl, and just when you feel love for humanity, everything else goes out the window, and it's something that I pray for on the battlefield, and it happens, it does, it works, it's love. I felt it, I'm just telling you. So it does work. It's like the love a mother has for a child. You can ask my wife. She loves my son more than anything in this world. And that kind of love, you cannot equate to anything. It's amazing to see. Stress inoculation training, that's what we do right there. This resilience that I'm going to read this in yellow, that's important. Resilience exists when the person uses mental processes and behaviors in promoting personal assets and protecting self from potential negative effects or stressors. Psychological resilience exists in people who develop the psychological and behavioral capabilities that allow them to remain calm during crises and chaos and to move on from that incident without long-term negative consequences. Those in our world, people call PTSD. Now, I don't call it dysfunction unless you can't get up in the morning and do your job. I've had that before. I'm in a state of PTS, post-traumatic stress, and I call it recovery. So it's PTSR for me and for many of my friends. We refuse to speak that over ourselves. But that training that we do, requires years and years and years, but you can do it to yourself. You can do physical fitness and then make yourself do something while you're physically tired. And that will train your body to be ready for stress. You don't have to get shot at. You don't have to go through explosives training or anything like that to stress inoculate, train yourself. Just physical fitness, self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy. Try to listen and understand. Listen, think, pause, respond. Develop social skills, something I'm very lacking in. You can ask my family. I am not very good at speaking about myself and my personal feelings, although I'm getting better. Most likely course of action, most dangerous. It's becoming that warrior monk that allows us to see these things and see beyond and be left of bang. Peace, joy, and love. All right. It's if you can get your body there, if you can get your mind there, if you can get scripturally sound on a lot of these things and truly believe it, it will work. Each mistake teaches you something new about yourself. There is no failure. Remember, except in no longer trying. That's your failure. It is courage to continue that counts. Right, that was from a book called Way of the Warrior. I read that and I thought it was good. All right, here we go. Combat breathing. This is the one technique I want you to take today and use it. Use it tomorrow. Use it tonight. Combat breathing. I want you to think of a box. Okay. We're going to start in this bottom corner. Either way, go counterclockwise. You can go clockwise. Breathe in through your nose for four count. We're going to do it right now. Hold it for four. Come across the box. Exhale through your mouth. Four. Then restart the cycle. Hold. Breathe in. All right. When I have time, or if I'm a sniper, I can use this. It will calm me. It'll bring me off that black zone. It'll bring me into a red, orange, yellow, not to the white. I don't ever want to be in the white zone. That's a total sheep. You're waiting to be slaughtered. I need you to be rams. Don't be sheep. Be rams. We're Americans. We don't do that. Right? A lot of sheep out there. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be targets. Force roll. Always look cool. Breathe in through your nose. Four count. And I want you to do this four times. My sister did it before court, and she said she kept doing it while she was on the stand when she could. And that box breathing from your diaphragm, that's the other part to this. Breathe from your diaphragm. Let that thing fully expand. I know everybody wants to hold their gut in and, you know, look like cool guys. Don't do that. Let your belly stick out. Just breathe from your diaphragm. Four, hold, breathe out through your mouth. Four. That is an amazing technique. It is allowing that air to get all the way in and fully inflate your lungs. And it will decrease that anxiety and bring you down a zone if you're nervous. I've got just about five more minutes here, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Bleet. That's one. Now, there's a quicker technique to do, and that's when you're like a guy like me, and you kick a door open, and you got to face some bad guys, and you're right outside the door. You can't do slow combat breathing, so we do a Valsalva breath. And that can quickly bring your heart rate down about 20 beats. I do it when I'm doing a sprint, and I can do it like a sprint, 2-3 miler, and we've got for time, and I've got to reach that last little 400 meters. I will do that forceful expiration that will drop that CO2, doing it kind of hyperventilate a little bit, and that need to breathe more, but it'll drop my heart rate just enough to give me some more energy so that I can get across that line a little quicker. That's another technique, but you're not kicking doors. You're not doing close quarter battle. Use a box breathing. All right. Truest virtue of a soldier is love. And the truest soldier does not fight because he hates anything. He doesn't hate what's in front of him. He does it because he loves what's behind him. Right. John 15:13.
We are good. And just thank you so much, Dr. Chambers. I think the strategies that you discussed are critically important for all of us to think about in light of the fact that it's so easy to get caught up in all the fear mongering. And certainly I haven't had military training, but I have had self-defense and I've had handgun training. And one of the things that I want to emphasize that you said when you're talking about conditioned white, yellow, and read and so on. One of the, and I want some of you to try this in your community, because the in the defensive handgun course that I took, this was actually in 2009 and then did a lot more after that. But in the first class, he talked about the fact that your greater defense was situational awareness and avoid situations that might be dangerous. And he said, most people walk around in condition white and they are totally oblivious to their surroundings. So the homework assignment that night was for us to go and stand outside at a shopping center and watch the people moving around from the parking lot to the stores and take notes. How many people were paying attention to what was around them? How many people were talking on their phone and had no idea what was around them? How many people looked like they walked with confidence? How many people looked over their shoulder or looked in the car before they got back in the car? Try that little exercise around when you're out and about during the day. You will be amazed at what you see happening and why it's so easy for people to be overtaken in a difficult situation or walk into something that common sense would tell you, well, why were they there in the first place? And that's exactly what you're talking about. And when I had to learn going from small town Virginia to, and never having lived in a large city, to inner city Baltimore for my training at Johns Hopkins, I had to learn skills of getting street smart really fast, or I was a sitting duck. So this is very important for all of us civilians. And these techniques that you've just talked about are really important. So thank you for that.
And you know, Dr. Fleet, I want to add one thing if I could. One of my friends here listening, you know, he brought up a good point. This is the thing, you know, this little device right here, this thing is the devil, all right? It's, yeah. It's gonna be the downfall. And it's because me as a guy who goes down range and does things to bad guys, I can walk down a street and nobody will pay attention to me because they're looking at their phones. And mass formation psychosis is a thing. It's where we get it all from right there. That's a good point.
You're exactly right. Do you know, I never get out of the car at any shopping center talking on the phone. I'm always paying attention to what's around. And I, especially for the women in the audience, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to walk tall, shoulders back, look confident. Don't look like a vulnerable woman, easy to have your purse snatched. And it helps to avoid being attacked. So that's just a little tip. Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts, donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law, and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this. With all that is assaulting our way of life, join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out, get loud, get involved. God bless you. And thank you for joining us.